We read from Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts.
You probably noticed that the title of the lesson outlined on the back of the worship sheet is Mama Never Spent a Dime. When I came to the front a few minutes ago, I asked Gary if he had found any 10-cent sermons. I mean songs, 10-cent songs. And he said no, he had thought about changing that Count Your Many Blessings to Count Your Money. And Barry Smith, one of our elders, was sitting just behind him, and he said, we may not have any 10-cent songs, but we have a 10-cent preacher. And when one of your elders says that, even I don't come back at that. A few weeks ago, Judy was preparing a devotional for one of the clubs which she is president. And she was going through a book looking for something to use as we were riding in the car. She found one that she liked, eventually used, and she read it to me as we were driving along. And I immediately thought, I want to use that for the basis of the first sermon that I preach on Sunday morning in the new year. We have been unable to find that book. I don't remember who wrote it. She doesn't either. We put the book up somewhere and haven't found it. But the gist of the story went something like this. It was written by a woman, and she said, when I was little, we were very poor, did not have much money. But I began to notice that every time that my mother began to pay for something, that she would never use a dime. She said if she had bought something that was 10 cents and she had a dime, she would break a dollar and pay for it instead of using that dime. And I never understood why she would do that. She mentioned again how poor they were and how little they had on a regular basis, but she said one of my fondest memories is that when Christmas time came, every child in the family got a gift. And on Christmas Day, we had turkey and dressing and ham and all the trimmings for all the family, and even sometimes others who would come in. She said that practice continued down through the years, and after we married and left, the children married and left and were away, and we would go back home for Christmas dinner, Mother always had about the same food. We'd always have the very best for Christmas dinner. She said a year or two after we had married and had gone back home like this, as we were getting ready for the lunch, or maybe after we had eaten it, I said to Mother, let me help you pay for this Christmas dinner. And her mother said, I don't need you to, and she laughed. She said, you remember down through the years that I would never spend a dime? She said, what I did through the entire year is I saved every dime that I had, and I took those dimes, and I took care of Christmas dinner and a gift for each child. And this lady closed the article by saying, I never saw my mother spend a dime. When Judy was reading that, I thought, you know, this lady is not the first one who realized the power of a dime. God is the one who first realized that. He didn't call it a dime, he called it a tithe. But that's exactly what it means. A tithe means 10%, and if you younger ones are following on the bottom of the page, you need to notice that. God, in a sense, said years ago, give me your dimes, and we'll take care of my work. You take the rest of it to take care of your needs. Just give me your dimes, and my work will go on. If you go back to Genesis, the 14th chapter, and verse 20, you'll find in a time when Abraham was dealing with Melchizedek that the Bible says that he tithed unto him. That's under the patriarchal law. Even as early as the time that Noah came off the ark, the Bible says the first thing he did was build an altar and offer up things to God. God evidently had given them the guidelines, as indicated in these passages under the patriarchal law, that they were to tithe of everything that they had. Under the Mosaic law, in Leviticus 14, or Leviticus 27, verse 30, we find the Bible teaching us that at that time, God commanded a tithe. That he told them that he wanted a tithe of all their seed, and all the fruit of the tree. And he said it's even holy, and it's to be given to God. In fact, under the Mosaic law, according to some additional passages like Deuteronomy 14, the indication is that there was an additional tithe, and then a priestly tithe, and then a tithe every third year, and then free will offerings. And if you put it all together, those who have really studied this situation suggest that under the Mosaic law, God probably required about a third. And I've always thought, and I don't know that I could prove this, I've always thought that the reason it was so much higher under the Mosaic law than the patriarchal law is that the Mosaic law particularly was their national law as well as their spiritual law. Whereas you and I pay taxes today, and the last I heard, it takes what we make until about May to pay our taxes to the government, about the percentage of it. Where we do that today, under the Mosaic law, this was built into where they had their national law and their spiritual law together. And it seems to me that that is probably the reason for some of the additional tithes that God commanded. If you go back and study history, you will find that back many years ago in Egypt, they tithed to their gods. At about 2100 B.C., Babylon had a law that they were to tithe to their gods. The Greeks emphasized tithes and additional offerings to their gods. The Romans in ancient history tithed to their gods. It's interesting to go back and think about the power of the dime, the power of 10%, and where it fit in all of these laws. And in this passage that Andy read a few minutes ago from Malachi, which is, of course, in connection with the old law and not the law that we serve today, but keep in mind that the principles are the same. If you back up to verse 7, you'll find God saying, "These are mine ordinances." The word ordinance means law. God didn't say this is something that might be or possibly should be considered. He said, these are mine ordinances. And so we need to understand that down through the history of God's people, there has always been the command to give, to lay by in store, to support the religion of the day. Now, you are well aware, and I want it completely understood throughout the entire lesson, that we do not have the word tithe mentioned in the New Testament in connection with Christianity. I'm well aware of that. And I will address that in another way toward the end of the lesson. But I want you to notice that in the patriarchal age, the Mosaic age, as we look at God's people, that the dime had an important place. And even in dealing with their crops and their fruits, God said, just give me the dimes, and we'll take care of my work. And that even those who were not associated with the God of heaven down through the years realized that, And evidently, some of the leaders who may not have been very good leaders and may have been very wicked emphasize this idea in ancient history and even in history that may be a little bit closer to us. I think here in Malachi, God not only reveals the command, but he expresses to us the problem that people have. And when you study this in context, I think you will conclude that God considered it to be a serious problem. In fact, he accused those who held back that which was to be his as being thieves. Probably they had never robbed a store. They had never taken money by force from anyone, and yet God said, "You are thieves." Notice, he says, "Ye have robbed me." That's not something to be taken lightly. Ye have robbed me. God was saying, was he not, at that time, that since I have set up the ordinance that you are to bring your tithes to my storehouse, when you are not doing that, he said, you have robbed me. That's pretty serious. But it's also important for us to understand in the question that he asked in that verse, the individuality involved in this problem. He said, will a man rob God? Now notice, God didn't say, will the people of Israel rob me? He said, will a man rob God? I believe, folks, that this may be the most important point that we will consider this morning. And that is, the emphasis is placed upon the idea that God does not, in this particular subject at least, and I think pretty well in every subject, look so much at a group of people and a congregation of people as he looks at the heart of each individual. Will a man rob God? I think this has a very significant application to us. I believe this congregation has done better than most anyone that I have known or even read about in supporting the challenges that are placed before us by our elders. Brother Smith last week noticed how we have come from, if I remember right, about 1980, a budget of around $4,000, somewhere in the 80s at least, to where we are now at a budget of $11,000. Every year that I have worked with you, we have gone beyond the budget that the elders have given to us. We've started out this year above our budget. When you compare where we've come from in the last 2 years, 98, 99, and 2000, congregation here is to be commended. And I appreciate so much the way in which the congregation rallies to any challenge that is presented. But let me share with you some figures. And these figures are about the same as what I have shared with other congregations in the past. I asked those that counted the money, give me some figures from this last Sunday's contribution, and the contribution of $13,288, 90 contributors gave 73% of that contribution. The next 100 contributors are less, and the reason I say less is I am pretty sure that there may have been some who gave more than one bill of a certain denomination. But if you just assume that they didn't, the next 100 contributors gave 23%. We have about 320-something families in this congregation. Last Sunday, 190, and I would guess fewer than that because I would guess that there were some of those that came from the same family, 190 or fewer of our families gave 96% of the contribution. Now, the reason I mention that is this. I have what I believe is a very, very valid and serious reason. I am more concerned about the soul of each of us than I am the total of our contribution. Because the Bible says that each person is worth more than the entire world. And the evidence is there, and as I said, this is not unlike other churches where I have worked. The evidence is there that many of us are giving practically nothing in the Lord's work. And I would stop to emphasize to all of us that each one of us needs to realize how important he is to God. Sometimes one might reason, well, I don't have as much as someone else, and I can't give as much, and what I give is not important. Don't ever say that to yourself. What you have the ability to give is just as important to God as what the most, or the richest person, the one who can give the most, can give to God. The one talent, the two talent, the five talent men were all on the same level with God as far as God's concern about them. And so I believe, folks, that sometimes we are allowing the good things that are happening in our work to camouflage what may be a very, very serious problem. I do not believe the New Testament teaches that we are to tithe in the sense that it's a commandment. But I do find in the New Testament that Ananias and Sapphira were put to death because they lied about what they gave. And it may not have been as much as what someone else gave. That wasn't the point. They said, this is what we got out of this, and it was not. And I've always thought to myself that when I drop what I drop into the contribution, that I am saying by that act, God, this is how I believe I was prospered. And I do know that 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 tells each one of us to give as he has prospered. I am well aware of some of the difficulties that particularly our younger families face. We have four children, three of them married and with children and facing the same difficulties that many of you are. I remember in 1962 in the month of May with two children, Judy and I sat down one day and said, where are we going to get the money to buy food this week? I've been there. I remember March the 10th, 1978, when our fourth child became a teenager and we had four teenagers. I've been there. I remember having three in a Christian college at the same time, two different years. I think I have been where most of you have been. I've never missed a meal, as you can see. I've never gone hungry. I made up my mind when I began preaching the gospel at age 13 that I would always give to God at least a dime out of everything that I made. And Judy and I have never broken that promise. I believe God means what he says. And I believe my soul would be at stake. There were times when I was making less than most anybody in the congregation. And there have been times, particularly while I've been with you, that Judy and I have been supported above what we deserve. But wherever you and I are, and whatever our circumstances, God's word is there. And when you look at it, he said, bring the tithes and offerings into the storehouse. And I don't have time to discuss it this morning, but it's interesting that in addition to the tithes, he mentioned the offerings. There was some gleaning, for example, in addition to the commandments. It's also interesting in this passage that he says, prove me. If you don't believe what I say, prove me. It's interesting that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, twice he says, prove your love in a setting where he's talking about the support of the church. And it's also interesting that he says, every person is to give as he has been prospered and is to be brought into the common store. That's New Testament teaching, folks, in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. And I am so glad that God gave each of you and me the opportunity to make those decisions and did not give me the responsibility of telling you what to give. I am so glad God didn't give me that responsibility. But I think he did give me the responsibility to remind us of what he teaches. Notice the blessings that are associated with it. I will open the windows of heaven. You bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse. You do what I've told you to do. You bring me your dimes. And I'll open the windows of heaven so that you won't have room enough to take care of the blessings that are there. You believe God means that? I'll admit sometimes I get a little impatient and I wish God would hurry up with some of his blessings. But do you believe God means that? The same Bible that says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, says, give as you've been prospered. And there is a blessing associated with each of them. You repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, God said, I'll forgive you. I believe that, don't you? He said, you give to me like you should, and I'll bless you so that you won't even have room enough to store what I give you. He said, I will even rebuke the devourer, and I will give you a delightsome land. Could it be that many of our problems, even in our nation, in the church, and on an individual basis, are because we haven't come to face this right relationship with God dealing with our material possessions? You see, here is why I am emphasizing the dime this morning. The New Testament does not command it, but the New Testament says that the New Covenant is a better covenant established on better promises, Hebrews 11:40, and God having provided some better covenant or way or system for us indicated in Hebrews 8 and verse 6. Now, folks, just use a little bit of common sense. A little bit of common sense. God said under these past covenants, I expect your dimes. And we are under a better covenant. How is there any way that we can reason that God would be pleased with less? Here's what I'm trying to say. To each of us, take the time to sit down and look at yourself. That figure on the board over here is only a working figure. Thank God for it. And again, thank God that we've been able to meet our challenges, and I believe we can meet even greater challenges. But folks, the real need is for each one of us, every one of us, to sit down and look at his situation. You understand it better than anybody else except God. And it doesn't make any difference whether I understand it or not. If you and God understand it, that's what matters. That's where the bottom line is. That's where, young people, the rubber meets the road. That's where it is. Sit down and look at yourself. And be sure that you're putting God first in everything that you do. I believe one of the most important passages in the entire Bible, especially relevant to our discussion this morning, is 2 Corinthians 8:5. They first gave themselves to the Lord. You don't have to beg me to support Judy. I love her. Should you have to beg me to support God if I love him? That woman kept her dimes and met many needs. God said, just give me your dimes and we'll take care of my work. I think he knew what he was talking about. We need to seriously consider it. But what do you need to do more than anything else? Is give yourself to the Lord. If you're not a Christian, come and be baptized into him this morning. If you need to be restored, do that. And above all, if you need to make some changes in your own personal life in a personal way, do that. That's a response also. But if you need to respond publicly, won't you come as together we stand and sing?
With Jesus and me always pure and good. Walk with him within the narrow road.